Welcome to Courtside, everyone, a discussion of legal issues. Today, I want to talk about a new law in Oklahoma that is trying to basically restrict thought and teaching. And I also want to do a quick but deep explainer about the Tulsa Massacre of 1921. That massacre happened actually 100 years ago today, May 31st, 1921. And these two things, the Oklahoma law and the Tulsa Massacre, are linked not just by geography, but because of the erasure of certain parts of American history from our educational system and our classrooms. And you know, I've always loved history, and I've taken many classes, history classes, from some of the world's finest institutions. And yet the truth is, I never learned about the Tulsa Massacre until watching HBO's Watchmen, a science fiction show, when I was half done with my life. There's something really wrong with this, and the Oklahoma bill that's now law is part of the problem. So what's this Oklahoma law, first of all? It says the following, quote, "No enrolled student of an institution of higher education shall be required to engage in any form of mandatory gender or sexual diversity training or counseling. And it says, no teacher shall require or make part of a course the following concepts. An individual, by virtue of his or her sex or race, bears responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same sex or race, and also forbids this concept, quote, meritocracy or traits such as hard work ethic are racist or sexist or were created by members of a particular race to oppress." Now, this law has already had the effect of really curtailing speech on campus. Melissa Smith teaches a class on racial inequality at her community college. Her class was canceled because it was against the law. This is one problem with laws like this. They're vague. They can be used to ban classes taught with ideas taught that people in power don't like. And because they're vague, they can then you can turn around and defend them on the idea that, oh, they're not squelching any speech. It's a very, you know, it's a very neutral law, or things like that. And in the First Amendment, that vagueness is actually a defect because vague laws chill speech. If you don't know the parameters of what the law bans and permits, then oftentimes people will err on the side of caution, not saying something, not teaching something. So if you're in Oklahoma right now, can you teach Dr. Martin Luther King? Can you teach James Baldwin? These are hard questions. And the worst part about the Oklahoma law is its apparent genesis. Because as I said at the outset, we are at the 100-year mark of the Tulsa Massacre, literally today. And that's why I'm giving you this episode today. Teachers across the state were preparing in Oklahoma to teach what happened in the Tulsa Massacre of 1921, and not by watching HBO shows. This law cropped up, I suspect, as a way to try and chill some of that speech. So I'm going to do today what the Oklahoma legislature wants to make illegal. I'm going to tell you what happened on this day 100 years ago. So after the Civil War, I think most of you know, an era of Jim Crow began. Outright slavery was abolished, but there were all sorts of informal practices and policies and formal ones that kept African Americans down. And in addition to that, you had the fact that the newly freedmen were poor. They had nothing. And, you know, the promise of 40 acres and a mule and other stuff didn't generally materialize. Promises of Reconstruction weren't kept. And segregated neighborhoods were, of course, rampant then as they are now. Now, the city of Tulsa 100 years ago was fairly thriving, had energy and other things like that as part of its economy. About 100,000 residents in Tulsa, about 10,000 African Americans, largely concentrated in an area called Greenwood. And Greenwood was truly thriving. Some people called it, quote, Black Wall Street. That was the name for it. And the area had been put together in 1906 by a guy named O.W. Gurley, who bought over 36 acres of land and opened stores there. And there were hotels and restaurants and nightclubs and a church and all sorts of stuff. And it was a fairly prosperous region. And that created a lot of resentment among whites, so much so that at one point they tried to take over Greenwood and build a railway depot there. And this was truly Klan territory, and the Klan got involved in fomenting racial tension. Now, what happened 100 years ago today? On May 31st, the young African-American man, Dick Rowland, and he was arrested for allegedly assaulting a white girl, I think in an elevator. Now, there wasn't much proof of this, but the white newspapers puffed up the story. By the evening, a group of white men had gathered, ready to lynch Rowland, and a group of African-American men, including some World War I vets, rushed to protect Rowland. There were some reports that said as many as 2,000 whites were out there to lynch Rowland and to do damage to Greenwood, and fights broke out all over the place. And it looks like the whites were aided by government forces, perhaps the National Guard, perhaps the police. It looks like both were involved. There are some reports even that bombs were dropped from planes. And at the very least, regardless of the mechanism, Greenwood was set fire to. 300 people died. 1,200 homes lost, burned to the ground. Churches, schools, hospitals, libraries, all destroyed. Internment camps were basically set up where 6,000 African Americans were placed for months. And if you go on the New York Times homepage right now, you can actually see a 3D rendering of what was destroyed in the massacre 100 years ago. Now, who paid the price for that? Well, the Tulsa City Commission wrote in a report a couple weeks after the massacre the following, quote, "Let the blame for this Negro uprising lie right where it belongs, on those armed Negroes and their followers who started this trouble and who instigated it. And any persons who seek to put half the blame on the white people are wrong." And a grand jury was impaneled to prosecute the rioting, the weapons, the looting, and arson charges. And this all-white grand jury indicted 85 people, basically almost all African American. The massacre was dismissed as a race riot, nearly forgotten. Indeed, the Tulsa Tribune's editorial pages said the following, quote, "Tulsa has resolved that the crime carnival ends here and will be buried with the ashes of the N-word town that is gone." N-word town that is gone. It took until the year 2000 for a report to be commissioned to uncover what actually happened there. And speech and teaching have been squelched about this for nearly a century. And that's what the Oklahoma law is trying to return us to. But that is where our great Constitution comes in, because a law like Oklahoma's undoubtedly restricts speech and is obviously unconstitutional. And you know, we've gone through this before. In the 1950s, there were laws that were passed to try and restrict the teaching of, you know, socialist ideas and the like. And the Supreme Court invalidated those laws, saying academic freedom and free speech guarantees the teaching of ideas. And so I don't think a law like Oklahoma survives challenge, not even close. But in the interim, before that law gets struck down in a court, and of course court cases take time, you will have a chilling of speech, including today on the 100-year anniversary. And so if you have a moment, just Google and read about what happened in Tulsa 100 years ago today. Don't let those who want to keep America ignorant prevail. That's Courtside for today. I'll see you next week.